Hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome back. Hello, it's Finn from Wandering Into Wellness and Lydia.
Hello.
From Wandering Into Wellness.
So that's our podcast. This is our thing.
This is our thing now. It's becoming
this
our thing.
This is Wandering Into Wellness.
Mm.
Yeah, welcome.
So we are here today to talk to you guys about cognitive health.
Yeah, today is, it's March when we're shooting this, and March is Brain Health.
Just March, yeah. We just caught the tail end.
We did, yeah. So we've been doing a few things together about Brain Health.
Yeah, so you were in our shop doing a workshop with eye yoga.
Yeah.
And you were, what else? Well, we've been talking about the Bredesen protocol a little bit in the store.
Yeah.
What other kind of things are we doing around Brain Health?
We talked about supplementation a little bit, and with client bases that people I was referring to you about brain health stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And preventative stuff.
So maybe starting with eye yoga, like how?
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
A tiny bit of each of those.
Yeah. Okay. So eye yoga. Yeah, it's a funny one because when we think of eye yoga, obviously we'd naturally think about what can it do to our eyes, and it can do loads of stuff for our eyes. It can help with long vision, short vision, eyes that turn in, can help with like how our vision actually works.
Yeah.
The main thing about eye yoga is that it's looking at how our vision's processed.
Mm.
So 90% of our learning is done visually. And obviously, when we look at something, we need to then decide what to do with what we're looking at.
It's amazing that we eat with our eyes. Like, we really do. We do everything with our eyes.
We do everything with our eyes. So if our eyes have any areas of lack, we're also lacking in the area that we're able to respond to the world and in the way we process our information.
Gotcha.
So what's really exciting about eye yoga is that when we use our eye yoga exercises, what they're doing is they're actually specifically taking the eye through a series of different movements that force the corpus callosum, which is the processing center in the brain, to actually build new neural pathways. So it improves the function of the brain, but it also improves the matter of the brain, the structure of the brain. Your brain gets bigger.
So this is kind of like when we like learn a new language or take up a musical instrument or whatever, the same sort of challenge to the brain. It responds in the same sort of way.
Yeah, so we've always known in therapeutic yoga, so when we're working with children with additional needs or developmental delays, we've always known that eye yoga has a massive effect on coordination, on helping to cross the midline, and even on things like emotional regulation. So we have our two sides of our brain, our left brain and our right brain. Left brain is more action-based, it's more logical, it's more verbal. And then the right side of our brain would be more creative, emotional, female, more kind of being, creative, musical, that kind of thing. And when we look at the corpus callosum, it's the superhighway between those two sides of the brain.
Yeah,
and it's responsible for the chit-chat between the left and the right-hand side of the brain, how they communicate with each other.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I always think of it like the conductor in an orchestra. It tells which part of the information where to go. So it says, okay, you need to go to the left side, you need to go to the right side, but not just that, you need to come up a bit in your action and you need to come down a bit in your action. So it also controls our central nervous system. So when we think about brain health, we come back to the central nervous system and our sympathetic nervous system and our parasympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic nervous system is our fight or flight response, our adrenaline, our run, that's run in response to danger. And our parasympathetic nervous system is our place of rest, our place of healing, our place of relaxation. And that's vastly important when we look at brain health. So we come back to our therapeutic yoga. We've always known that it does that in children in early intervention. So that would be up to the age of 7. You can do eye exercises with a baby who's only 4 months old. We just use their toys. And it makes massive differences in their processing.
Amazing.
But we've never really known how could that affect adults or people over the age of 7. There's a lot of studies done on the corpus callosum and how playing a musical instrument before the age of 7 or eye exercise before the age of 7 actually increases the function of the corpus callosum. Or in people who, some people are born without the corpus callosum. The earrings fell out.
Or born without like one earring inside.
Exactly.
Your corpus callosum just fell out.
Left and right side are not in balance.
So one of the interesting things around that therapeutic aspect of eye yoga, I think, is because we obviously, the world is beginning to switch on to the idea of neuroplasticity. But there's interesting stuff I was reading recently about neuroplasticity in terms of the types of neuroplasticity, and like, because we have, you know, we have this somewhat of an idea, certainly as an adult, of what regions of the brain are involved in processing what types of information, be it kind of language centers, emotional centers, memory centers, that sort of stuff. But we've got this unbelievable ability to reorganize them when needs be. So when they've shown like children who are blind from birth, like they send like all of the spare neuronal activity goes straight to their auditory and their physical processing stuff, so that their other senses get really heightened. And there's an amazing video actually on YouTube of a guy, I think called him something like Batman, but it's a blind guy cycling, and he uses like this
echolocation.
Yeah, it's insane. It's amazing, and that he's developed it himself. He was blind from birth, and so he has this. And it sounds unworldly. It doesn't. It sounds like literally superhero stuff. But it shows. It just demonstrates you if people are, you know, embrace that aspect and don't treat themselves as a limited being. That we can, you know, really change and improve our cognitive function, and well into later life as well. It's not just about below sevens where
exactly.
A lot of work
is done. Now they've realised that we can do this, that the brain has the ability to change its structure and function in response to external stimuli. So what's really exciting is then if you're an adult and you know there might be an area of lack in your brain, you might have been dyslexic all your life, you might have problem with fine motor skills, so you might have a lisp, or you might have problems saying certain sounds. In Ireland here we say
Utter.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't go there.
There's different things that we say, right? So eye exercises can help that. And fine motor skills, also writing, if you have terrible handwriting like me.
Yeah, join the gang.
You might look at eye exercises as a way to improve that.
Interesting.
Or if you're someone who has trouble regulating their emotions, and that might make you feel, we're looking at brain health, it might lead you towards anxiety, might lead you towards things like depression or negative thought patterns.
Yeah.
You can actually use eye exercises to help bring the left and the right-hand side of your brain into balance to make that work better. And they've also done things where they patch over one eye.
Okay.
So if you live more in your left side of your brain, the left side of the brain relates to
the right eye.
So you'd patch the right eye, and that forces you to sit more on the right-hand side of the brain, and vice versa. So there's so much interesting stuff you can do to actually change the structure and function of your brain and improve it, which is really exciting.
Cool.
We have those tools, and it's free.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? And so you mentioned depression as well. Like, obviously, depression and cognitive function are obviously massively related as well.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of data yet as to understand how one influences the other, but we know that certainly the drugs that are used in interventions with depression have a really limiting effect on our on our cognitive function, and that obviously when our cognitive function is enhanced and we're performing at optimal level, that, you know, things like depression and negative thought feedback, that sort of stuff, doesn't tend to be as much of a problem. Like, do you have any particular things you've worked with clients on, like, in terms of like enhancing or like optimizing their cognitive function so they don't have those sorts of, you know, negative feedback things during the day, or stress, I suppose, doesn't cause them so much of a difficulty?
Yeah, there's a few things. There's a lot of the yoga asana, the yoga poses, that are specifically used to combat anxiety and depression, mainly because most yoga asana work on balancing systems in the body. And obviously, when anything manifests in our body, it's usually from a place of imbalance.
Yeah.
So there's certain yoga poses like salavasana or a shoulder stand, bridge pose, cobra pose. These all stimulate thyroids, parathyroid, pituitary gland, pineal gland.
Which just stimulates a lot of sweating, to be honest. Jesus Christ,
exactly.
It's tough.
And also then, we're talking about child's pose.
Uh-huh.
So child's pose stimulates the gland here.
And no sweating at
which
all.
Is
it's beautiful. The pineal gland.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yes. And so what that does is it helps to bring us into that parasympathetic nervous system and heal and balance and sleep better.
Yeah.
So that's really useful, because often it's night times that our thoughts tend to overrun us, and then we can't sleep, and we all know that if we don't sleep properly, that's really vastly detrimental to our mental health.
Massive. Like, they've done studies which show that after 3 nights of less than 5 hours sleep, our fasting blood glucose and our fasting insulin, like, they triple. This is ridiculous, like really ridiculous levels. So we basically become diabetic after possibly 3 nights of poor sleep. And you can think about young mums, all these sorts
every
of people.
Mother.
Every mother. There you
every
go.
Mother.
It's the truth, isn't it?
It is really the truth. And you live in a brain fog when you have a baby that doesn't sleep. Your brain will not work properly. And it's so easy to get down on yourself and to get stuck into that trap of negative thinking. And
absolutely.
And also just feeling like you don't want to go out. You don't have the energy to go out and do things. And the less you do things, the less you want to.
Yeah.
And then it becomes really agoraphobic.
And then, you understandably. And what do you, do you have any particular things like maybe some breath work that might be helpful for people who might, you know, have like, you know, less than 5 hours sleep, but they have 2 seconds in their day while their baby might be doing, you know, something that doesn't rely on them?
There's quite a lot of yoga breathing exercises. I mean, there's millions of them, but my most simple go-to ones that I usually say, so for people who might be in an office, and
where you
they
can't
live
do child
in
pose in the middle of your office.
They can't, and they're in a high stress environment. So they're also in that left brain environment.
Yeah.
Especially women, a lot of women who are in offices who work in those jobs end up with things like polycystic ovary syndrome and stuff like that, because they're in this male-dominated environment and they get too much of these male hormones, and hormones go out of balance.
That's fascinating. PCOS driven by that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
There's a lot of interesting. We'll do a whole podcast on that.
Totally.
So what we'll do is We'll talk about that another time. But what's interesting for those kind of people is that what I usually get them to do is set their timer on their phone every 2 hours and then just go into the toilets or go outside if they can and just do their breath practices for a few minutes so that at least they never go more than 3 hours in their sympathetic nervous system without their body being able to counteract the balances of the stress, the effects of stress on their body.
Yeah.
So one that someone at home could do is the 4-6 breath, where you just simply breathe in and out through your nose for a count of 4 on the inhale and then a count of 6 on the exhale. And the ideal thing would be that you would be breathing down deep into your belly, so low and slow is optimal for that.
And you feel it immediately.
You can.
You feel it in your shoulders. That's why I do.
Everything.
That's where I hold
because
a lot
you
of
naturally
from.
Inhale up. And exhale.
Yeah, exactly. The whole rib cage,
everything
goes. Yeah, it's a lovely feeling.
And then also the 4-7-8 breath, which we talked about before. There's a lot of studies that are done on that have made massive differences to people's health in really short-term tests, so like 15 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not just brain health, it's heart health, it's immunity, depression,
they're all part
anxiety,
of the same
all
thing.
Of it. It's
they're all exactly driven by the same stuff.
This is it, isn't it? It's all feeding back to that holistic view of our body and
exactly
not separating them into
areas, which
right
is our temptation.
It is, and we're even doing it today.
I know.
Brain health.
Yeah, darn.
But 4-7-8 breath.
Yeah.
You need to have your tongue behind the back of your teeth, and you keep it there the whole time. You breathe in through the nose for a count of 1, 2, 3, 4. You hold that breath in for 7, but you keep your body relaxed. So relax the shoulders as you're doing it. You're not bringing stress in. And then you breathe out for 8 through the mouth with the tongue on the back of the tooth. So it's a kind of a... So that's for 8. And then you do it again. And you do that only 4 times. That's the beauty of this one, is you literally only do 4 cycles of that twice a day.
It's too easy.
So once maybe in the middle of your day.
Do I pay?
No. Me.
Oh, great. Perfect.
And
then we just give that away for free?
No. And then at the very end of your day, right before sleep, because it helps to encourage sleep as well. And you kind of get this nice spacey feeling afterwards.
Lovely.
So those are 2 really simple things that anyone can do.
Super duper. So one of the things we haven't spoken about cognitive health in relation to maybe diet and maybe possibly supplements. Food and mood is such a huge thing. Maybe there's a whole podcast on that as well. We're going to have to wind this one up soon, I think. So, briefly to talk about cognitive protective supplements from a cognitive point of view. Anything that's going to help to balance your blood sugars is going to help to prevent from the onset of cognitive decline, like Alzheimer's. So we think about like cinnamon and chromium. We've kind of mentioned, I suppose. There's also we didn't mention that, did we? No, we didn't. But cinnamon and chromium would be obvious ones from a blood sugar balancing point of view. And there's some really powerful cognitive enhancing herbs as well. Goji cola is one I love. It's a little bit worse, but a little bit like ginkgo biloba. It helps to improve microarterial perfusion, so all those tiny capillaries in the brain. And there's some really interesting studies around that. Likewise, Brahmi, which is another Ayurvedic herb as well, has been shown to kind of like brighten the mind. Holy basil is another really nice one as well.
Great.
And it's also got neuroprotective benefits as well, so it's prevent oxidative stress, prevent damage, neural damage in the brain tissue. Likewise, things like CBD and turmeric as well, which are also in that territory. Yeah, turmeric's just kind of, what doesn't turmeric do?
Turmeric,
it's mad, isn't it?
You know, in traditional Indian cultures, they would just carry a pouch of turmeric around on their waist and they'd use it every someone cuts themselves into the cut.
Yeah, straight away.
Feeling awful, into your mouth.
Done. Yeah, it's the dual. It's what we do with coconut oil at the moment.
Dab it on your face if you're in a ceremony. Great.
Turmeric's a magic one. Another one that I love as well, it's a great thing to do in the morning if you want to get like a shot like caffeine, but you don't necessarily want to take the coffee, is a little pinch of cayenne pepper in possibly aloe vera juice or a bit of water.
And you can also add that too. I make those little energy balls.
Oh, right.
Date and nut energy balls, the power balls. If you add the cayenne pepper to that,
it's amazing.
And turmeric as well. Super good. And
you
don't notice it if you're someone who struggles to get the cayenne in.
Yeah.
You know, even my son, he's 3, will eat that and he won't notice it. So that's
That's a great, because it's like, so it's a slight cognitive stimulant, so it kind of wakes you up. It's also a neuroprotective antioxidant as well. And it's a systemic anti-inflammatory, so it works a little bit like turmeric and some of the anti-inflammatory oils turmeric would have as well. So it's great to help to reduce pressure on the heart. Like, it works to help to balance blood pressure as well. It's one of those amazing herbs. It's like, feels like the poor country cousin of turmeric at the moment because nobody's talking about it, but they will be.
And it's a beautiful colour.
Isn't it gorgeous? Yeah, really vivid.
And colour's good for mood.
Absolutely. Colours on your plate is like so important. Like, because like we're saying, we eat with our eyes.
And eat the rainbow, isn't that what they say?
Eating the rainbow, absolutely. That's such an important thing. And not only are we getting those antioxidants, but it enhances that the whole process of digestion because our body begins to see the food and starts the cephalic phase, so it starts to produce all the salivary enzymes and all that sort of stuff. So, all those sorts of things are going to help us live into late life. We haven't really talked about sauna at all because sauna is such a powerful thing.
Could we do that in one where we talk about... cold water immersion. Oh, that's okay. Another great thing for the brain, isn't it?
Done.
So we'll do that
on
episode 5.
Great.
Well, we just wanted to finish with the wheel, didn't we?
Oh, my God, yeah. So go on, tell me about
the
wheel.
So another really good tool that I use with my clients is a thing called the Wheel of Life, uh-huh. and you can find a PDF of it online. It's really easy, and you can get it for free. And what it is it's a series of concentric circles that look like a wheel on a car with the spokes coming out.
Okay.
It's divided into 8 sections, and each 8 section has a title like home, family,
like an area
health.
Of life.
Yeah, an area of well-being in your life.
Okay.
And each spoke is divided into 10 little levels, and you fill up each level on how you're feeling now. So it's a snapshot of your life in this moment, not how you wish it would be, how you want it to be, how it was right this minute. And so you might find that when you look at your wheel, you go, I've got 10 in health, I'm feeling great. 5 in family, relationship 0, or whatever. And
relationship
you look at
zero. Oh, Jesus, I hope not.
No, not mine. Mine would be 10.
Yeah, good.
And then you look at your wheel, and you think, how bumpy is my ride right now? Mm. So if it was all 10s, it would be nice and smooth,
really
and that wheel
like
would
that.
Go round. But if it's up and down, up and down, up and down, you're going to be having a bumpy ride, and that will really affect your mental health and your well-being. So what you can do with that is, once you've got your snapshot of the areas that you feel like you're not so happy with, you can look at, okay, maybe I can't make all these changes in my life. It feels too big to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just look at the ones where you can make little micro changes.
Mm.
Maybe you might do random acts of kindness to yourself or to other people. You might maybe eliminate sugar from your diet for a week. You might do a bit more yoga poses or whatever the things are that you want to do to try and slowly increase those areas until eventually you feel like you're making overall a smoother ride and you're finding balance in your life.
Cool.
So balance is our key player.
That's it, isn't
health,
it? Left and right brain.
Yeah.
Body and mind,
endocrine system,
so the whole lot,
sugar, blood sugar level,
the
memory.
Wheel, memory, absolutely,
so that's the Wheel of Life, and you can get that free. So what we're really hoping to do today, which hopefully we've done for you, is just provide you with a few free tips of things that you can take away that aren't going to cost you loads of money.
Speaking of freebies, what have we got? So tell us about this
NewZest. So NewZest is this super amazing brand which we love, and they make two products. One is a protein powder, and one is kind of a green powder that's like a multivitamin, is what they're marketing about. So it's really, really great. The protein powder is something that I really take to help recover my muscles after classes, and protein's really good for brain health
Isn't it? Absolutely.
And so many different functions
preserving
of recovery.
Kind of smooth muscle into later life and all that sort of stuff. Muscle density is one of the best things that's going to help us to be able to walk around when we're in our 80s, which is, if we're physically independent, then we're likely to be socially independent, we're likely to be happier people, and cognitively probably better off as well.
Yeah. So every time we do our podcast, we're going to be giving away a NewZest bag and filled with some goodies from the Hopsack, which are like healthy snack options, healthy sweet options, and delicious things that are better for your body and better for your brain health and your gut health, which is going to come back to food and mood.
Yeah.
So if you liked our podcast, please like it below and give us a nice comment and subscribe, and one of you lucky people will win our NewZest bag and all the goodies as well.
Deadly. Thanks, Lydia.
Thank you.
Deadly. Thanks for
See
watching, guys.
Bye-bye.